ride. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melonheads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Today is October 24th, 2025. Happy Inflation Day. Hey, we got the September CPI report and just a hair under 3 weeks late. How about that? Not bad for your government and your tax dollars at work. Deep breaths, Jack. Well, the market's celebrating because inflation went up. How about that? Who had that under 2020's bingo? That's right. The headline inflation number came in 3.0%. That is ever so slightly higher than August 2.9% reading, but it is silver lining, or should I say the very thick silver lining of this gray cloud, because this is what everybody likes about the report. The market was expecting 3.1%. We got 3. It's up from 2.9. Is that good news? Let me know in the comments how you feel about that 3%, pardon the engagement farming. Guys, that sucks, but it sucks a little bit less than we were all fearful of. And so number go up. People are buying stocks on this news. Why are they buying stocks? Because this is the all clear for the Fed to cut rates in October, which is virtually guaranteed at this point that they're going to cut rates. They're probably going to cut in December, and now they'll probably cut in the beginning of next year as well. And, you know, why shouldn't they cut? Why shouldn't they stimulate the economy? It's not like we've been missing our arbitrary 2% inflation target since, the beginning of 2020. When was the last time we came in below 2%? Beats me, man. My memory doesn't go back that far. I'm getting up there in years, you know. I'm sure there's some guy in a Pepperidge Farm commercial who remembers when inflation was below 2%, but he ain't here. Yikes. All right. So some of the other statistics, the month-over-month numbers also came in high but slightly lower than expected. The core numbers look good. The big takeaway in inflation or the big driver this month was gasoline. That stood out a little bit here. That is why the inflation number actually went up. Gasoline rose 4.1% month over month for September. That's a pretty big spike there. Also noteworthy, we had shelter inflation came down from 0.4% month over month down to 0.2%. So some of that rent pressure being relieved, although still going up. It's still trending in the wrong direction. So the fact that CPI was pretty much a non-event, and that's the big takeaway. It still sucks, don't get me wrong. And, you know, I'm not trying to gaslight people out there. The cost of living going up and wages being stagnant, that freaking sucks for anybody that isn't in the upper 10% echelon of society. But that being said, there was a fear that a high inflation reading or a higher inflation reading would have derailed the Fed's plans to cut interest rates. We did not get that. And so the market is celebrating. That's putting upward pressure on asset prices today. We all know the money printing is coming back, folks. It is just a matter of time. And what might trigger that money printing? How about this series of totally idiosyncratic, isolated, and definitely unrelated events in the banking system? We've got more of those this morning. Oh, this is fun, isn't it? Even though big bank earnings were very good for this quarter, all right? The big banks, they're doing great. The little banks keep reporting these problems. More fraud, more isolated events, more cockroaches. First of all, we got to talk about that video I did yesterday about Karyox Capital and Bankim Brombot. Guys, go check out that video when the stream is done. There is still nothing about this story in the mainstream financial press. I don't know what the hell is going on, but it was at least $550 million went up in smoke in that fraud, possibly $1 billion. It's almost as big as Tricolor and First Brands, and nobody will talk about it. It did not happen, if you ask Bloomberg and CNBC. There's nothing. There's some obscure, like, you know, if you pay the big bucks pro membership at Wall Street Journal or Bloomberg Law, you might be able to find it if you're looking for it. But nobody is volunteering any information about this story. Gee, maybe you think it has something to do with the fact that BlackRock just bought the private credit firm that lost $550 million in this story? Huh. Wouldn't want to derail their plans to park all that dog shit in your 401k or IRA or pension fund, would we? I don't know why, but they're not talking about it. So check out that video as well. But wait, there's more. Yesterday afternoon, Evolve Bank CEO was arrested at Evolve Bank corporate headquarters by FBI agents, taken out in handcuffs. That is the bank, Evolve, that was at the center of the Yoda Bank scandal that caught up some very high-profile financial influencers on the YouTubes who were promoting Yoda Bank, and people put their money in there and still haven't gotten it back. Also, the collapse of Synapse was related to that. But the bank says it has nothing to do with the bank. They're saying it was a personal matter. All right, our CEO got arrested at work at the bank, but why would anybody assume it has anything to do with the bank? Of course it has something to do with the bank, but I digress. That's not the only new fraud we've got. First Financial Bank shares, that's a relatively small regional bank. They're reporting a $21 million credit loss from an unnamed, previously undisclosed fraud. All right, there's another fraud taking eight figures out of a bank. And we've got two more banks that are reporting eight-digit losses fallout from the First Brands isolated incident. Remember, these are all isolated incidents, very much totally not related. How many is that? I mean, we're talking about these every day now. And they just keep saying, don't worry, guys, no trend here, nothing to worry about. Holy crap, there's a lot of this stuff happening. Other news, geopolitical today. President Trump took his ball and went home. He threw a freaking fit. Look, we've been doing these trade talks with Canada, you know, the tariff thing. You guys are all familiar with that. And apparently Ontario, the provincial government, which is, you know, the mayor Doug Ford is a big guy, his brother's a cokehead, all that stuff. He ran an ad targeting Republicans in the United States featuring Ronald Reagan that was very critical of tariffs, which, you know, hey, Republicans were generally anti-tariff right until they weren't. And, well, President Trump threw a fit. He's not happy. He took to Truth Social in all caps fashion, and he just announced that he was immediately ceasing all trade negotiations with Canada. Now, look, this doesn't really matter. Canada doesn't really buy anything from us. Whiskey, like if you run a whiskey distillery or if you make bourbon in Kentucky, this sucks for you. Everybody else, nobody really cares because we buy most stuff from Canada. They don't buy much from us. So this really sucks for the Canadians. But that being said, you know, like, bro, you're in your 70s or you're almost 80 years old now. What the hell? I would not allow this behavior from my daughters, let alone the leader of the free world. Kind of sucks here. Anyways, that does not bode well for this big meeting that's supposed to happen in South Korea next week. All right, there's a lot riding on this meeting. We're supposed to have a trade deal with the Indians coming out of this meeting involving Russian oil. We're supposed to have a trade deal with the South Koreans involving up to $350 billion of investments in the United States, predominantly in shipbuilding, assuming they can get the swap line sorted out. And of course, the big one, the meeting that we don't even know if it's going to happen yet between President Trump and Xi Jinping, all going to happen at this meeting in South Korea next week. And if he's throwing a fit like this over a political ad with Canada, well, that's a lot of volatility in a very volatile situation. Let's just put it that way. We've also got a big deal was announced yesterday between Google and Anthropic. They're signing a deal for tens of billions of dollars that Anthropic is going to buy worth of Google's new TPUs. That is tensor processing units, not to be confused with GPUs. They do the same thing. I'm sure the geeks can bicker back and forth about the differences. Let's just assume this is called chips, shall we? But you might be asking, hey, Jack, how is Anthropic going to pay for tens of billions of dollars worth of chips? Remember, Anthropic doesn't have the money and Anthropic doesn't make any money. They still lose money on every single service they provide. Every single query that is put into an Anthropic chatbot loses them money. So where are they going to get the tens of billions of dollars? I know, but you'll have to stick around to find out about that one. Supermicro Computer. Remember Remember that company, by the way, the accounting fraud that's still on their books? Every SEC filing that company puts out says, you know, we have material weakness over internal controls over financial reporting, which means our executive team is a bunch of dirtbags and crooks, but BDO will sign off on our books as long as we put that statement in there. They're back in the news again because yesterday they unexpectedly cut their revenue guidance by nearly 30% out of the blue because customers are delaying orders. Huh, maybe the demand wasn't so insane after all. That's interesting. Supermicro shares were down big on that news yesterday. We've got a $38 billion private credit deal to pay for Oracle data centers. Understand, guys, they are robbing your retirement now to keep this bubble inflated. That is what they're doing. Big tech's once enormous free cash flow has now been completely consumed. And now they're eyeballing your 401k with a twinkle in their eye. That's how they're going to continue to pay to keep NVIDIA's earnings inflated, to keep Oracle's ridiculous, what do they call it, remaining performance obligations inflated. It's coming out of your retirement, guys. We've also got Volkswagen may have found an alternative for Nexperia chips. That drama continues. Strong earnings from Intel, and Target is laying off 1,800 people from their corporate jobs. The white-collar recession is getting worse. We got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. Why am I suddenly doing Howard Cosell? I don't know, but do all that algo stuff. It's good for the channel. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is higher by 44 points this morning, 0.65% to the upside. Almost all of that coming in the immediate aftermath of the release of the CPI. Everybody's like, yay, my Fed rate cuts, money printed go burr, stocks go higher. Same thing in the Dow, higher by 229 points, 0.49% to the upside. And the NASDAQ ripping higher here, up almost a full percent, 0.92% in the green, 230 points higher for the tech-heavy NASDAQ. And we have got a weaker dollar, of course, because the Fed is probably going to cut rates now. The DXY is at 98.85. That's lower by 9 basis points. That should be putting some upward pressure on asset prices this morning. We've got yields are moving lower pretty much. Well, yeah, across the board here. The 30-year Treasury barely moving, lower by a half a point here, 4.567%. The 10-year also barely budging here at 3.987. That's off by a half a point. The two-year, meanwhile, is down by more than 2 points here, 3.459%. And oddly enough, the one-month is unchanged at 4.012, although that rate cut by the Fed that's coming in a few days here, that is already largely baked into the cake. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got metals. They were deep in the red this morning. They're now trimming those losses ever since that CPI reading came out and the Fed rate cuts became more likely. But still, we got some red here. Spot gold, $4,113. That is off by about 13 bucks or a third of a percent. The December front month gold futures contract is at $41.26. That's off by $19 or 0.46%. Down to just $14 of, contango, I guess you would say, the difference between the New York price and the London price for gold. Those two prices are getting very close there. Same thing going on in silver. We've got spot silver in London, 48.61. That's lower by 32 cents or about two-thirds of a percent. Meanwhile, the December silver contract, 48.36. That's off by 33 cents as well, two-thirds of a percent. The difference between the London and New York price is now about, 25 cents there, 26 cents? Getting even smaller as those two prices come back in line. Meanwhile, the December copper futures are pretty much unchanged here, 0.07% higher. Platinum, 0.06% higher. We've got palladium's a little bit lower by 0.75%. And crude oil is higher by 0.25%, 61.94 for December WTI futures. Looking over at Bitcoin this morning, $111,313. That's a little bit higher. Again, Bitcoin's had a good couple of days, but still trading in this range between 100 and we'll say 112,000 or so. We have some interesting Bitcoin and crypto-related news this morning. President Trump pardons crypto chief who helped launch his stablecoin, Changpeng Zhou, otherwise known as CZ Binance. We have covered this dirtbag on this channel before, especially during the last crypto winter. This guy was laundering money for freaking terrorists and rogue states. He was helping them move their money around. He was sentenced to prison. He had to pay a $4 billion fine, and President Trump just pardoned him. Why did President Trump just pardon him? Maybe it has something to do with the fact that Changpeng Zhou helped launch his USD1 stablecoin that World Liberty Financial put out, you know, the company that both of his sons sit on the board of directors of. And then, of course, you know, USD1, that coin bought about $2 billion worth of U.S. treasuries, thus making it a little easier for Scott Bessent to issue this new debt. This guy bought his freedom. That's what it comes down to. He was laundering money for terrorists. He was helping finance murder and destruction all over the world, but he helped the right people. This sucks. And I'm just going to tell you, this is going to come back to haunt him in the midterms. Crypto winter is here. At some point very soon, there is going to be a major price correction in Bitcoin. A lot of people are going to lose a lot of money. something that happens every cycle anyway. But when it happens, people are going to be out for blood. They're going to be looking for somebody to blame. And pardoning a crypto money laundering dirtbag like Changpeng Zhou is not going to help in the midterms. We got some other news going on in crypto this morning. This is pretty interesting. JP Morgan to allow Bitcoin and Ether as collateral in their crypto push. Not going to spend too much time on this one. This only applies to their big institutional clients, but this is one more opportunity for leverage to build up in the crypto system. So JP Morgan's going to say, all right, you got a big ETF, big holdings, or you run a fund and you own a lot of Bitcoin, place it in third-party custody, and we will lend you money against that. That's a pretty big departure from some prior comments their CEO, Jamie Dimon, has made, where he basically said Bitcoin is nothing but fraud. This is another way for leverage to build up. This is another avenue for the infinite money glitch where, you know, you can park your Bitcoin with JP Morgan, borrow more money, and then use the money you borrowed to buy more Bitcoin, i.e. the infinite money glitch. Of course, inevitably, you get a deleveraging event. So something like this could make the deleveraging even worse. As always, guys, the warning, please be careful on leverage. Crypto winter is here. All right, let's talk about the inflation numbers this morning. United States inflation rate, this is your year-over-year CPI for the month of September, 3.0%. All right, inflation has been vanquished. It's gone, over, finished, done, right? I mean, look at this chart. Isn't this a reason to celebrate? Oh, what? It's not a reason to celebrate that inflation has been going up since we announced tariffs in April, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop? Oh, well, I hadn't looked at it that way. Well, gosh, thanks for explaining that to me, guys. See, I don't need to do this. You guys know enough about this. You don't need me here. Look at this chart. This sucks. Inflation has been going up all year, and the market's like, yay, my rate cuts. Not enough gold in the world for what's coming, guys. I don't care about the recent volatility. The money printers are going to spin back up. You can see it happening. All these frauds on Wall Street are licking their chops. There's just not enough gold and silver in the world for what's coming. On a month-over-month basis, the chart looks a little better, but still not great. 0.3% month over month for headline inflation. That is down slightly from 0.4% and slightly less than the 0.4% expected. If we look at the core inflation rate, this is a little more interesting here. 3% down from 3.1 and slightly below expected, but core inflation exactly in line with headline inflation. So you can't blame this on energy. Actually, energy did have a pretty big input this month. Gasoline up 4.1%. I'll show you that in the chart in just a second. And the month-over-month number for core inflation is 0.2%. Market was expecting 0.3%, and that's down from 0.3%. So there are some encouraging signs in the inflation numbers. Some of these intricate numbers are coming down, but the headline number still stubbornly high, still trending in the wrong direction, and still way above, 50% higher than the Fed's arbitrary 2% target. Inflation never went away, guys. We're all acting like this is a done deal. It ain't. So let's look at the chart and where the inflation was here. We had food inflation, 3.1%, well above the Fed's arbitrary target. And remember, food inflation disproportionately affects the poor and the working class because a higher percentage of their income is spent on things like food, energy, and shelter. And, well, that's where all the inflation is. It's funny. It's like the poor are getting punished as Wall Street celebrates. Weird. On a month-over-month basis, though, food inflation was down 0.2% from 0.5%. And when I say inflation is down, guys, prices still rising, just rising slower than they were the prior month. Food at home was up 0.3%. Food away from home, that's restaurants, up 0.1%. We had a lot of increase in energy. The month-over-month number for energy more than doubled from 0.7 to 1.5. That was led mostly by gasoline was the big one here. We had 4.1% monthly inflation in gasoline. That is up from 1.9% the prior month. Although I would point out, that's actually still a negative year-over-year number. That's somewhat interesting. Some of the other interesting numbers here, some things that don't make sense at all to me. Month over month, they're saying electricity got cheaper in the month of September, down 0.5%. From 0.2% higher the month before that. I don't buy that, not for a second. Not with this data center build out, not with every data point involving electricity that I have seen in the last 6 months that says electricity prices are going up in a straight line. Somehow we end up with a negative number for electricity in this September CPI report. Maybe this is the new statistics guy doing what he was put there to do. I don't know, but that number doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Also, we got new vehicles still getting more expensive, 0.2% for the month, down a little bit from 0.3% the prior month. Used cars and trucks went down. Again, that's another number that doesn't quite make sense to me. This was largely before the Tricolor collapse and everything happening there. So the fact that used cars got cheaper, again, I'm skeptical of that number, but there it is. Let's see, what else do we have? The shelter index, that's a big one there. That was cut in half from 0.4% down to 0.2%. Shelter is by far the biggest contributor to the CPI math. It's more than a quarter of the overall equation. So that puts some downward pressure on the overall number. But still, guys, 3.6% year over year, it's still way higher than the Fed's arbitrary target. And we had transportation services got a little bit cheaper. That's your auto insurance, auto repairs, and plane tickets. So, yeah, inflation, it still sucks. It just sucks a little worse than we were afraid of. And so everybody is celebrating. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of these bank stories. First of all, check out this video I put out yesterday, guys. I don't know why, but nobody else in the world is talking about this story. I think it's a bigger story than that. We had a couple of guys like FC Nightingale on FinTwit was talking about this. Some of the feeds on Twitter are talking about this, but nobody in the press. What the hell? This is like a billion-dollar bankruptcy and nobody's talking about it. And it's like the third billion-dollar bankruptcy in as many weeks. Nobody's talking about this. And that's why nobody is talking about this. Check that out after the stream. But wait, there's more. Evolve Bank and Trust CEO arrested. Oh, that's fun. We got a bank CEO arrested. And some of you are probably out there saying, finally, they're arresting bank CEOs. I can't argue with the logic. Bob Hartheimer, am I saying that right? Hartheimer? Bob H. became CEO in August following former CEO Scott Stafford's retirement earlier this year. And he made it almost 2 months. That's quite a record before he got arrested. Oh, my God. Evolve Bank and Trust CEO Bob Hartheimer was taken into Federal Bureau of Investigation custody at his office Thursday regarding a personal matter, a source close to the bank told Banking Dive. Yeah, I mean, when FBI agents and windbreakers kick in the door and come into the corporate HQ and arrest the CEO, why would anybody assume that has anything to do with the bank? Of course, it's a personal matter, wink, wink. The CEO's arrest has nothing to do with the bank. No warrants were executed against bank or bank property, just our CEO, the source said. The source did not disclose the charges, but he said that Hartheimer was scheduled to appear in federal court in the Western District of Tennessee in Memphis on Thursday. Court documents were not yet available. WTF is going on here? I have no idea. All I can tell you is Evolve Bank was at the center of that synapse collapse that led to all the people getting their money stuck in Yoda Bank, people who still don't have their money back. And, you know, this story is one of the reasons why I don't do many affiliate links and why, you know, this video is brought to you by so-and-so. Use the link below and get $50 off. Like, I don't do most of those because of stories like this. Anybody who followed these big finance channels, and I mean the biggest names in YouTube finance, were all pumping this Yoda Bank name. Everybody who put their money in Yoda Bank got it stuck there. It's not gone yet, but because of these obscure loopholes in the laws regarding FDIC coverage, they can't get their money out. And these people are always offering me money to pump their services. I'm not gonna recommend this shit to you guys. And now you've got the bank that's at the middle of it all. Their CEO gets arrested. Yikes. But hey, this is an isolated event. And so is this. This is also an isolated event. First Financial faces $21.55 million credit loss due to fraud. Again, isolated fraud. Again, First Financial Bank shares experienced a $21.55 million credit loss this quarter, largely attributed to a suspected fraudulent activities linked to a specific commercial borrower. No detail. This could be Tricolor. This could be First Brands. This could be Bonkum Brombot, the guy from the cockroaches video, or this could be somebody else we haven't heard about. But another bank, another isolated event. Legal proceedings are underway and collaboration with law enforcement continues. Despite this challenge, the bank's fundamental earnings remain strong, showing a nearly 12% increase in year-to-date earnings compared to the previous year. All right. So First Bank shares only down about 1.1% after reporting that. I suspect that 1% will not hold. But there's another one. And shout out to Kristen Shaughnessy on X. She's been excellent, actually, covering these banks. Kristen and FC Nightingale have been really good covering this stuff that's going on with commercial real estate and frauds at banks recently on Twitter. Highly recommend you follow both. She is posting two of these here. We've got First Citizens takes an $83 million hit tied to First Brands. All right. Remember, guys, that is an isolated event. And so is Santander taking a $55 million debt exposure to First Brands, according to court documents. Yet another isolated event. It's really, really quite idiosyncratic, guys. It's just these stories have nothing to do with each other. Remember, at least that's what the press wants you to think. Meanwhile, we got President Trump terminates trade talks with Canada over Reagan tariff ad. This one's got me shaking my head this morning. U.S. President Trump said he would immediately halt all negotiations with Canada, citing a Canadian advertisement against his signature tariffs plan featuring the voice of former President Ronald Reagan. And here we go in all caps. Tariffs are very important to the national security and economy of the USA, Trump wrote. Then he took caps lock off and wrote, based on their egregious behavior, caps lock back on, all trade negotiations with Canada are hereby terminated. The ad in question comprises excerpts from an address Reagan gave in 1987 in which he defended the principles of free trade and slammed tariffs as an outdated idea that stifles innovation, drives up prices, and hurts U.S. workers. Funded by the government of Ontario, the ad seeks to sow doubt among Republican voters by using one of the party's most iconic voices. Who cares? This is stupid. Grow TF up. That's all. Again, I don't really think this matters. Like the whole, like the back and forth with Canada, like the only thing that Canadians really buy from us is freaking whiskey. All right. And it's delicious whiskey. And you know what? I am doing my part to support the whiskey industry. I don't know about you guys. That being said, this is largely doesn't matter. But it does matter for this big meeting that's happening in South Korea next week. If he pulls one of these, the bond market is going to flip out. So pay attention to this kind of stuff. Next week will be big. And we got this story, another ridiculous circular deal going on in the AI space. I mean, these are happening as fast as the bank frauds are happening now, and I'm sure that just bodes very well for the average person. Google and Anthropic announce a cloud deal worth tens of billions of dollars. But Anthropic doesn't have the money. Oh, that doesn't matter, silly rabbit. Alphabet's Google will supply up to 1 million of its specialized AI chips to Anthropic, a deal worth tens of billions of dollars that deepens its partnership with the fast-growing artificial intelligence startup. Fast-growing and fast money-losing. The arrangement announced Thursday gives Anthropic vastly more computing capacity while cementing Google's position as both a major investor and key infrastructure provider in the escalating race to power large AI models. And that's kind of a hint right there, that sentence, how they're going to pay for it. Both an investor and an infrastructure provider. Put a pin in that. Google declined to comment how Anthropic plans to pay for it, the TPU access. Anthropic didn't respond to a request for comment. So how are they going to pay for it? Well, they told us in this sentence how they're going to pay for it. A major investor and key infrastructure provider. You see, this is how most of the AI industry and most of big tech's CapEx has been financing this build out, even though they all lose money. They're not actually giving them money. Google is not giving money to Anthropic so Anthropic can buy the chips. No, Google is giving Anthropic the chips in exchange for equity in Google. And what they're not actually giving them the chips. Google is going to rent them the chips. And Anthropic is going to give Google a big piece of itself, a big equity stake in Anthropic. And Google is going to give them data center credits, the imaginary currency that big tech and Wall Street have conspired to create in order to fund this build out. All right. Anthropic doesn't have the money. They can't afford to pay for it. But Anthropic can cut off its arm and give it to Google in exchange for these data center credits. Now, here's the rub here. In exchange, after these credits change hands, as Anthropic uses the chips, they will be essentially renting them from Google's cloud unit, and they'll be redeeming those data center credits, those coupons for free TPU rentals. And then Google gets to report it as cloud revenue, even though it's not even their own money. It's their own monopoly money going around in circles. Remember, they're not actually giving them any cash. They're giving them coupons for data centers. As those coupons get redeemed, Google and Alphabet's cloud revenue goes up. This is exactly what Microsoft is doing with OpenAI. Amazon does this with Anthropic too. That's why they're not telling you how they're going to pay for it, because they're not actually paying for it. This is just more stupid circular accounting. They're doing it everywhere. And guys, ultimately, you're the one who's going to pay for this. Meanwhile, Super Micro Projects revenue shortfall on later deliveries. Hey, we haven't talked about SMCI in a while. Let's check in with those crooks. Super Micro, which emerged as a favorite stock among AI-obsessed investors last year, unexpectedly issued first quarter guidance on Thursday that fell far short of Wall Street expectations. The server maker is now expecting to report roughly $5 billion in revenue for the first quarter ended September 30th. The San Jose, California-based company said, citing order upgrades that pushed some sales into the second quarter. Analysts had projected about $6.5 billion. So do we believe this guy with a history of accounting fraud who says, oh, the reason we have to lower our guidance by up to 30%, they previously guided for up to $7 billion in revenue. Now they're saying $5 billion. That's a 30% reduction. Oh, it's because our customers upgraded the orders, but we're not going to fill them until next quarter. All right. I mean, you could believe that. And then, you know, you could read the sentence about how they're all doing accounting fraud that they attach to all of their SEC filings because it's the only way their rubber stamp auditor BDO will approve their paperwork. The company share slid as much as 7.6% in New York. Supermicro said it had recently secured more than $12 billion in additional business from customers requesting delivery in the second quarter, Supermicro said. The firm reiterated a revenue forecast of at least $33 billion for fiscal year 2026, Supermicro said. And they said it would give more detail on upcoming sales during the earnings call on November 4th. Well, Supermicro says a lot of things. The stock was down 8% yesterday. They're bouncing a little bit here this morning, taking back about 2.8% of that. Guys, look, this stock has done well ever since they avoided delisting. And again, the only way they avoided delisting was by having BDO put a statement in all of their quarterly reports that says, we're full of shit. So good luck if you want to invest in this one. Just know this company is fraudulent. It's blatantly obvious that these guys are frauds. And, you know, now that they've exhausted big tech's CapEx, we talked about that big Google Anthropic deal, the free cash flow from the Mag 7 is basically gone. Now they have to figure out a new way to pay for this data center build out. Or let me refresh that. They need to figure out a new way to get you to pay for this data center build out in order to keep this bubble inflated. And it looks like Oracle has figured it out. Record $38 billion debt sale nears for Oracle-tied data centers. Notice they're now going into debt to build out these data centers because none of them have the money to build what they promised. But your retirement account does. Banks are preparing to launch a $38 billion debt offering as soon as Monday that will help fund data centers tied to Oracle and what would be the largest such deal for artificial intelligence infrastructure to come to market, according to people with knowledge of the matter. JP Morgan and Mitsubishi Financial are among banks leading the deal, which is split across two separate senior secured credit facilities, said the people who asked not to be identified. One $23.25 billion package will go towards financing a data center in Texas, and another $14.75 billion will help fund a project in Wisconsin. Vantage Data Centers is developing both data centers, which are set to be used by Oracle to power OpenAI, Bloomberg has reported. The projects are part of Oracle's broader effort to invest $500 billion, which it doesn't have, in artificial infrastructure alongside OpenAI, known as Stargate. Investors have been clamoring for exposure to AI for months, with banks and private credit firms vying to lead the massive debt packages needed to fuel the boom. Meta Platforms recently selected PIMCO and Blue Owl Capital to lead a $29 billion debt and equity deal for its data center expansion in rural Louisiana. So Silicon Valley is now tapping private credit, who is tapping your 401k and IRA and your pension fund in order to pay for these data centers. Understand, guys, this is rapidly depreciating, cash-burning garbage. And big tech can no longer afford to build it out. They have used up all their free cash flow. So now they're borrowing from your 401k to pay for it. And they're going to park all that debt in your retirement account. Then the bubble is going to burst. And when the bubble bursts, not only are your stocks going to tank because all of the mutual funds that you're in are ridiculously over-concentrated to the Mag 7 now. So not only are your stocks going to go down, but the 40% of your portfolio that you thought was safe, that was in bonds, they very quietly put it into alternative assets, which included the debt that was also attached to this same AI bubble. So that's going to go down too. They are robbing us blind to pay for this bubble. And all the CEOs of these companies are selling stock hand over fist while this is happening. They're ripping people off. All right, a couple more quickies to get through. Volkswagen suppliers secures Nexperia chip substitute and standoff. We talked a lot about Nexperia, about how the Dutch government had seized this company from the Chinese. The Chinese threw a fit, said no more chips for you. And then we had German automakers were worried they were going to run out of chips. The Germans and the Europeans, they told the Japanese, you guys aren't going to get any chips because we can't get enough chips. So the Japanese are worried they're going to have to shut down auto production. Well, it looks like Volkswagen found an alternate. So I don't know if this means the Nexperia crisis is over before it starts, but it's a glimmer of hope. We don't need to spend too much time on this one, but keep your eyes on that story. We've heard a lot about that one. Intel rallies after forecast signals a comeback is underway. Intel is back to profitability. It looks like their CPU, their personal computing segment is doing pretty well here. A return to growth for Intel, that is encouraging. That stock is up 5% this morning. Intel been making a lot of news, right? We had that big announcement that the government was taking a stake in the company, and then NVIDIA took a stake in Intel. So a lot of money coming their way. Now the company is profitable again. They also took some of that money that came in. They used it to retire debt. No updates on the foundry, on the fabrication of chips domestically yet, but hopefully we hear about that soon. Intel having a very good morning. And last but not least, we want to talk about Target. They're cutting 1,800 corporate jobs in its first major layoffs in a decade. The white-collar recession continues, and it looks like it's going to get worse. Target said Thursday it's cutting 1,800 corporate jobs as the retailer tries to get back to growth after 4 years of roughly stagnant sales. It marks the first major round of layoffs in a decade for the Minneapolis-based retailer. It announced the layoffs in a memo sent by Target's incoming CEO, Michael Fidelke. Did I say that right? Michael F., to employees at its headquarters. The eliminated roles are a combination of about 1,000 employee layoffs and about 800 positions that will no longer be filled, the company spokesperson said. Together, they represent approximately 8% cut to Target's corporate workforce. According to the memo, and affected employees will be notified on Tuesday. It's worth pointing out, guys, that we're not getting jobs numbers. We did get the CPI number because it made it easier for the Fed to cut rates, which is what the administration wants. But we did not get any labor data. And now you got 1,800 jobs going away. Will that be reflected in the jobs data, you know, once we start getting the jobs data again? Probably. And I just want to say thank you very much to Mr. Snowman. You want to build a snowman? He says, keep up the great work, Jack. Thank you so much for the good vibes and for being a Melonhead member for 8 months, Snowman. Appreciate that very much. I shall endeavor to continue meeting your expectations, sir. Nacho Man. Oh, thank you so much, Nacho Man. I appreciate that very much. Appreciate the generosity. He says, I pitch for some mish. All right. What's the mish pitch? Mish. You want to fill me in on that one? What is this mish pitch? Mish pitch. I don't know. But thank you so much, Nacho Man. I'm not sure where we're going with that. But hey, while we're on the subject, thank you, Mish, for everything you do for the channel. Mish helps me, does a lot of research for the channel. We have our call every morning before we go live where he, you know, we compare notes. What did you find in the news? What did I find in the news? We look for trends. We look for patterns. We come up with a title. We come up with a plan for the show. That happens every morning in the background. So thank you very much, Mish, for everything you do for the channel, sir. And thanks again, Nacho. Oh, here's the next pitch. Did we get a fat finger? Or did you do that? Did you twice pitch for Mish? And I twice still do not know what that means. I don't know, but thank you very much, Nacho Man. I appreciate that. I really don't get it. I'm trying to check my messages here. Mish is saying, give me my money. All right. I'm being shaken down. All right, Mish. Checks in the mail, brother. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate the support of the chat. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I was not prepared for that. M&J says 66,000 subs by Monday live equals big member gifting. All right. So we got M&J is pledging here. M&J, thank you for everything you do for the channel as well. M&J is another one behind the scenes, puts a lot of work in on the channel. Thank you so much, M&J, for everything you do and for being a Melonhead member for 20 months now. And yes, we are knocking on 66,000 subs. I don't know about that Monday thing. Let's hit that by the end of the day today. How about that? Let's hit 66,000 by today, and then we can get 100,000 next week. How's that? Feel free to tell 44,000 of your closest friends and family. I'm sorry, 34,000. Feel free to tell 34,000 of your closest friends and family all about my channel so we can replace the banana with a new light and a big silver plaque that says 100,000 subs. That's the goal anyway. Thank you very much, M&J, for everything you do for the channel. Uncle Fedster says, happy Friday, Jack. Great video yesterday. Thank you, sir. One, the king of doomers, Stephen Van Meter, is also warning about the three subprimes you've been covering by being a trend. The three subprimes, I'm guessing he's talking about Primaland, about Tricolor Auto, and First Brands. Honestly, I don't know that Primaland, it is in the auto space. We don't know about any fraud being involved in Primaland. So I'm reluctant to put Primaland in the same category, although the automotive tie, the subprime auto financing, yeah, it belongs in the same category. But I, until we hear otherwise, there's no fraud involved there. But that story yesterday about CarryX Capital and Bonken Brombot, definitely fraud going on there, ridiculous fraud going on there. And that guy's got an umbrella of companies. It's like laundry list long. And I just think that one's going to get bigger. And the fact that nobody's talked about that story, almost $1 billion in liabilities, and they reported $50,000 of assets, 50,000, like they're wiped out. The people who lent money to those dirtbags are going to get nothing back. It is gone overseas. The guy's hiding probably in India now. And nobody in the mainstream press in the U.S. is covering this story. That boggles the mind. Check out that cockroaches video from yesterday. Thank you very much, Uncle Fedster. I'm glad Stephen Van Meter is covering it as well. I think more people need to cover it. The Dad Dan, what's going on, sir? He's been a Melonhead for 19 months. Thank you, the Double D. He says, Richard Dick Teng replaced CZ at Binance. He's worse. Worse than CZ? Worse than this guy? Yikes. Did Mr. Teng, did he replace CZ at Binance or at Binance US? I remember one of the big things was like Binance US was supposed to be like the American compliant version of Binance. And it was just a stupid shell company. All the funds were commingled. What they did at Binance was so sleazy. I can't believe they pardoned that dirtbag. But the price of freedom, you know, and, you know, hey, now that we're not doing any trade talks with Canada, I guess the president has plenty of time to work on that Sam Bankman-Fried pardon while he's at it. I don't know what to tell you there. Now, Mr. Dick Teng, I don't know anything about that guy, but if he's worse than CZ, maybe it's worth pulling the thread on that one. Thank you, the Dad Dan, for supporting the channel and for the tip. I know nothing of this man, though. Can't tell you. Just be careful, guys. Be careful on leverage. If they're letting the crooks out of jail and they're giving them pardons, that means there are even fewer consequences for fraud in the crypto space when there already were virtually none to begin with. Just be careful, especially on leverage. And I want to say thank you very much to all of my Melonheads. Thank you guys for having your coffee with us this morning. I appreciate the generosity. Thanks also, Nacho Man. Appreciate that very much. Also, thank you to you magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon and YouTube members. Looking forward to 2 p.m. Eastern time today for our weekly get-together over Zoom for a Q&A. That is down in the description below, the links to that stuff, should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out for the algorithm. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Check out the cockroaches video. And until next time, live small and dream big.